Amen. So we have just had such great responses as we've done these panels. Basically, the reason we're here, the four of us, is because everybody else is on vacation. So, if you're wondering why it's just us, anyway. But you know, one of the things I was telling these guys the last time we did this. I work with these guys, these gentlemen, all week. You know, every week. And unless you come in and you know, you sit in the office with them and drink coffee with them all day, which, by the way, is frowned upon by the management, you don't really get to know them unless you work with them, you know, all of the time. And I get the opportunity to see their heart for God, to see their understanding and depth of understanding of the Word of God and their passion for the things of God. And so one of the things I love about being able to do this kind of panel is you get to see that. You get to see another side of the personalities of your pastors and their love of the Word of God and different things that they think about and some of the things that we talk about. So that's one of the reasons we like doing this. So I am joined this morning on my left, your right, thus creating the mirror effect. For those of you who are in the military, you're the only ones that got that. By Pastor John. Pastor John is over our congregational care, prayer ministry, men's ministry, Martha ministry, nursing home ministry. Okay, gravy. Am I missing anything? Okay, it's good. Swiss knife, man. And next to him is Pastor Josh, and then Pastor Sam is here. And they are our youth pastors with Destiny Generation, covering everything from...
Shout out to the youth.
Hey, oh.
Youth leaders, youth leaders.
We're the youths.
Where the youth's at.
From everywhere from sixth grade to through high school and college. And is that middle school? Is that junior high?
Yeah, that's middle school, junior high. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing.
Do they still call it junior high, or is it?
It's middle school down here. It's junior high, like up north. I don't get it.
Okay.
I don't get it.
One of those.
It's junior high sounds cooler than middle school.
Okay.
Though,
so I'm just like. So.
I don't know.
Here's a disclaimer this morning. We're going to have fun and we're going to enjoy what the Spirit of God is already putting on our hearts. And just a disclaimer, you will hear truth this morning.
Amen.
Amen. So truth. I hope you can handle truth this morning. So what we wanted to begin to talk about this morning, kind of set this up, was that we just celebrated the 244th celebration of the independence of the United States, becoming a nation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So as I was looking at that and thinking about that, I thought about, you know, all of the men and women who sacrificed and gave their lives. You look at some of the early folks in the Revolutionary War that risked their entire fortune, families, everything, for us to become a nation, to be free. And all down the line through even today, there's men and women risking their lives, giving their lives for this nation, for us to remain free and to be who we are as a nation. And so I was thinking about, you know, the idea of we have a kingdom of this world that we live in. We're citizens of the kingdom of this world. And that's the things in this nation and the things that what we talk about, the different institutions or the mountains in this society, things like education and media and politics are all parts of kingdoms of this world. Sometimes the Bible will say kingdoms with an S, and sometimes it just says kingdom. But it's talking about all of those kingdoms of this world that create one kingdom in this world. And even though that we are citizens of the kingdom of this world, we're also citizens of another kingdom. Amen? We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes. Yes.
That is in this earth.
Yes.
Right now, that Jesus brought into this earth. And so we have a citizenship in heaven. And that citizenship was given to us and paid for us, not by the lives and the blood of many men and women, but the blood and life of one man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And when you were born again, you were brought into the kingdom of God. The Bible actually uses terminology like you were snatched out of this world. You were rescued out of this world, and you were placed into the kingdom of God. So you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. When you close your eyes and breathe your last breath, you will be in that kingdom of heaven. Amen? Y'all realize that? And so, well, not very many people raise their hands. So, see, I can see all the way to the back now. The lights are up. I can see all the way to the back. But so you are a kingdom, part of a kingdom of this world, but you're also a part of the kingdom of heaven. And many people right now are really upset and they're very emotional because of all of these things that are being talked about in the kingdom of this world, and they're not making sense to them in the kingdom of God. Well, guess what? The two don't mix. Come on. Mm-hmm. The two kingdoms don't mix. They're very much opposed to each other. Yeah. And so what we want to begin to talk about this morning is our response to that. In other words, that because we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, our independence, our liberty as Christians, I'm not talking about as Americans, I'm talking about as Christians, as believers, our liberty, our freedom, our independence is based in our dependence upon Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, not upon the things in this world. And so we want to talk about some things this morning. We want to kind of start to look at one scripture this morning. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 13. Amen. I don't know, that was a little weak, but hopefully we'll get louder as we go on. We wanted to read this scripture this morning to kind of set this up, and we're just going to be kind of an open flowing discussion about the fact that we have liberty and freedom in Jesus Christ, but what does that look like in our relationship, first of all, with others? Amen. And so Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 13 through 15 says, "For you, my brothers, were called to freedom," meaning liberty. "Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the sinful nature, the worldliness, the selfishness. But through love, serve and seek the best for one another. For the whole law," meaning the whole law concerning human relationships, "is fulfilled in one precept. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, you shall have an unselfish concern for others and do things for their benefit. But if you bite and devour one another in bickering and strife, watch out that you, along with your entire fellowship, are not consumed by one another." Amen. So, Pastor Sam, as we were reading this and we're talking about that, our freedoms, we have freedoms in Christ Jesus, right? And we have liberty to come in here and worship the Lord and to do things. But how is that different from our liberties? How does that look different from our freedoms and liberties in this world? And how does that affect our relationships with one another?
Man, the level that we love God is the same type of level we should show love to one another. I remember when we were doing a worship night actually at a house actually a couple months ago, and God started just hitting me with this phrase of that moves of God die because we don't learn how to love. Like moves of God die because we don't learn how to love. That, man, a lot of times we in the church, we get so caught up in, man, God's presence, God's glory. Man, it's beautiful. Wow, my goodness, I'm experiencing God in a real individualistic way. Yet in the same way that, man, that I'm encountering God in the same wonder, that is actually the same type of intensity, the same type of intentionality I'm supposed to show towards my neighbor. Like, that type of love, the world does not know. Like, that type of love, the world actually is like, wait a minute, that doesn't even look right. I think a lot of times there's this, we miss this thing when it comes to actually like the kingdom. Like a lot of times when it comes to the preaching of the gospel, we think more actually individualistic than actually our love towards one another. And God's heart is that, man, that we learn to love, that we learn to honor, that we learn to give value, that we learn to seek to understand one another, that we learn and to walk with one another as a people. The crazy thing about the early church, that man, that is written in a letter called the Letter of Diognetus. Early church history there's this Rome who's viewing Christians. And he's saying that, man, these Christians are in this nation, but they're really not of it. Mm-hmm. That they're like a nation within a nation. That they're so unique, that they're in the culture, but, man, they have their own culture. That they have their own customs. That, man, that they're in the nation, but they're, for some reason, they have their own type of values. And that, man, that this thing of putting one another before themselves is actually a clear thing. And so what does that even look like when it comes to, like, the world? There's a lot of times that man, that just because we could do something doesn't mean that we should do something. Like here's, I posted this on Facebook a little while ago of, like, hey, instead of posting or saying something on Facebook, let's go beyond the keyboard and actually let's set a table. Like, okay, if there's disagreements or if there's any type of miscommunication, it's not just my own ability to just voice it out. It's actually my responsibility to connect to you. Like, when we start seeing one another, not just as somebody who's in our church, but as our family, we go beyond what the world actually sees.
Yeah, and as you were saying that, I was thinking about how the early church, when you're talking about, they had this culture totally different. They were totally dependent upon one another.
Yeah.
And they actually, people actually looked at them, and they made the statement that they're turning the world upside down. Yeah. In Acts 17, I think. But he said, they said, you know, they're saying these things like there's another king, yeah, and his name is Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, to perplexed, everything that is the society, the kingdom of the world, the culture of the world was looking at them. They were saying, man, this looks totally upside down from what our culture is, right? They're turning the world upside down, when in fact, they were turning the world right side up, is what they were actually doing. They were actually showing them this kind of love for one another that goes past what human love exhibits, because it's not a human love that can do that. It's not a human love that can stand in the face of someone that's angry and that hates you and that wants to kill you and love them with the love of God. That's not human love. Amen. I was going to ask Pastor Josh, in that line of thinking, why does it seem like Jesus' teachings were so contrary to the things that the world teaches?
Oh, man, I am so passionate about this. You know, I'm so fascinated by Jesus, you know, and especially when you look at Matthew 5 through 7, you know, you see Jesus, he's really giving us the kingdom way that we're called to live. You know, like, and you look at what he says, and it seems so backwards, right? Like, you, like, this thing where it's, hey, like, I'm calling you to love your enemies. You know, like, man, I'm calling you to pray for those who use you. Like, you know, bless those who curse you. You know, and that, to me, it's so key, and it's so pivotal. And, like, it's insane. Like, even when he says, hey, like go the extra mile. You know, that's like a cute saying for us. But when you look at the culture and the times, you know, a Roman soldier could stop a Jewish citizen at any point,
right,
and make him carry all of his gear for up to a mile.
Right.
And Jesus says, hey, listen, don't just go 1 mile, go 2 miles. You know, like, go out of your way and do something good for your enemy.
Right.
You know, like, when Jesus said, hey, I'm calling you to bless your enemies, in my mind, they weren't thinking about their neighbor who was talking about them. You know, they were thinking about their occupiers,
yeah,
you know, the Roman, right, citizens or,
right,
or the Roman soldiers.
Right.
And so here's Jesus, and he's giving this perplexing way to live that seems like, man, like, God, how is blessing those who curse me going to help? Like, have you thought about that? Like, God, how is praying for those who are using me going to help? It seems so backwards, but here's the thing, is that Jesus was saying is that there's a different way to live. Mm-hmm. You know, is that there's a different way to live for believers, for Christians, and for those of us who say that we belong to Jesus. When it's normal for the world to curse, we should be blessing.
Right.
You know, when it's normal for the word for the world to be getting revenge, we should be praying for those who hurt us. You know, it just seems so backwards. And referring to that letter that Pastor Sam was talking about, you know, like, I love it. It's like when you summarize the point, it's like, man, like the way that they love each other is just annoying. Like, seriously, like the letter basically almost says that. It's like, man, these guys are so, like, they carry such a unity and such a love that it's annoying. And so to me, when you look at the life of Jesus, and just that Matthew 5 through 7, then you watch him play it out through the rest of the book of Matthew. You know, like, he literally lives out every single beatitude yep. that he taught. You know, like, and those aren't just cute little sayings, you know what I mean? Like, or just cute little taglines that we're called to live by. Those are, like, life-changing statements. And they're actually really hard to live, you know, without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. Exactly. We can't stand face-to-face with someone who is not a believer and throw back to them the same things they are throwing back, they are, you know, attacking us with or speaking towards us. We have to be speaking the truth. We have to be speaking the word. We have to be speaking from the love of God. And I was gonna bring this scripture up, Pastor John, 1 Corinthians 1:18. Paul lays it right out there. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God." You can expect that many people are going to think what you're saying is foolishness because it doesn't line up with what they believe is truth in the world, right? But truth is the only thing that's going to actually change people in this world.
Amen. And what we're doing is we're talking about relationship. You know, the kind of love that we had isn't a surface kind of love. Anyone can have that kind of surface kind of love, but what we're talking about is a heart love. Mm. It's not love in theory. It goes deeper than that. When we talk about family, it's not based upon how we look. It's based upon who God is because he lives on the inside of us. Yeah. And so when we talk about the change and the transformation that takes place, it's not a head knowledge change, but it has to be a heart change. Mm-hmm. It's where God is able to come in and change us and transform us into the people that he has designed us to be. You see, a lot of times we think that we're supposed to be a certain way, and because we see other Christians acting a certain way, then we need to act that way. Well, there's things, that's like we were talking about in the Beatitudes, there's ways that we should act, and it's governed by the Word of God. But then we also have our own personalities that, you know, a lot of times that we don't have to look like everyone else. God has called us to be individuals, just the way he called us to look different. Because some people can reach others and some people can't. But the difference is having the deep love of God in our hearts. And so I just thank God. I was wrecked this morning. You know, there is a thankfulness in my heart. I'm not talking about coming to church. Coming to church has nothing to do with relationship. Coming to church is going through the motions for some. And as Pastor David was saying this morning, where he's saying there's a lot of people that are heavy laden in here. I just believe that there are people in here right now that you might have a relationship, but it's not the depth that God wants. Mm. Because it's only through that relationship, that heart change, that things are going to begin to change. I want to read Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, starting at the 24th verse. And this is what God does because he wants to come into partnership with us. There is nothing that we can do on our own. How many people know that God loves you? How many people really know that?
Amen.
You see, one thing that we have to understand is that God has always been there, even before you got saved. I know in my own personal life that God was speaking to me even before I got saved, that he would tell me things at key different times. And if you really think about it, God was there. And it says here in the 24th verse, This is what God's doing with us in this relationship. For I will take you from nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your uncleanliness and from all your idols. That was us. That was us as we were in the culture before. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my ordinance and do them. You will live in the land that I gave your fathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Amen. We were born to reflect the love and the glory of God, the way that he designed us to be. We don't all look alike, but that same life that flows through Christians flows through us. Amen?
Amen. So there's this, I think Pastor Sam said this, there's this very individualistic aspect of us in the kingdom. When we were born again, as Pastor John was saying, that we received a new heart. We received the ability, because we're placed in Christ Jesus, we're placed in his righteousness, we're placed in his holiness. Even though you may not feel those things, he calls you those things. Amen? And so you are righteous, you are holy, and there's this personal relationship that you have with Christ, with you have through the Holy Spirit, that we have to deepen our walk. And we're going to talk about some things we can do in a minute to deepen that walk. But there's also a corporate aspect to that. And it seems like it, and we have all kind of talked about this, we talk about this a lot, that there seems to be, especially in the Western church, that there's this, it's an overemphasis on the individualistic aspect of that, to where we really miss the kingdom aspect of that. That we are part of a family, as Pastor Sam was saying, we're part of a community, we are part of a kingdom that has a responsibility to go into the earth. And as our culture touches the culture of this earth, as our kingdom touches that kingdom, it's supposed to turn it upside down. There's supposed to be an impact when our kingdom touches the kingdom of this world, when our culture touches the culture of this world. That's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and you and I are his disciples, amen? Yeah. He taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. So, and we were talking earlier, and I was saying that the level of evaluation, I guess you could say, of the effectiveness of the early church was always their impact upon their community, upon society. Yeah. And so, Pastor Sam, give us an example of when heaven touches earth, when this culture of the kingdom touches earth. What does that look like, and what can that look like?
Shoot, man, like, church history shows so much when it comes to not just the evangelism and the spreading of the message of the gospel, but also the shifting of change of society. And I love the story of, in the Second Great Awakening, Charles Finney. Charles Finney's a powerful man of God. Y'all, like, they taught the first and second Great Awakenings in the school, but they literally don't tell you, like, all the things that actually happened. Like, I remember it was, like, learning as a kid, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Then I got saved, really. And I started looking back, and I was like, oh, my goodness, they didn't tell us that the whole nation got, like, shifted because of, like, these moves. And one story in particular, not even a story, but this is what Charles Finney would do. He would have these, he would go into cities and he would preach the gospel and thousands would be saved. Literally thousands. They would feel the grip and the conviction of the Holy Spirit and they would say, what must I do to be saved? It's beautiful, right? And in the same breath, as soon as it's like, okay, receive my Jesus, boom. In the same breath, he would say, okay, now free your slaves. It was from one event, like the gospel, as well as into social reform. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's sometimes for some reason I was like, man, how come we split the two? Mm-hmm. This is again the revelation of the kingdom of God. God has a say so in government, in politics, in Amen. Education, in psychology, Amen. In science, Amen. In history, Amen. In business, in whatever. Yeah. And he has these ideas and he has these passions that he's literally looking for a people that would say, hey, I wanna know what your heart is in this area, because that's actually the original intent.
Exactly.
Like in Genesis 1:28, the commission to Adam and Eve was, hey, subdue the earth. Subdue the earth. When Jesus, before he ascends, guess what? He gives a commission to the disciples, disciple nations. Notice that he didn't just say, get them saved. He said, disciple nations. That means people groups. That means he's saying this, set up my order. Right. So here's right. practically that man, because like this has been this hour has shown me so much. If there's 2020, I love seeing all these memes about 2020 on online. They're hilarious. But 2020, I love before even it hit. Like there were so many prophetic words of like, oh my goodness, God's gonna show us His vision and all these stuff. We all got that email, right?
Yeah.
Like every prophetic ministry gave them about the same word, but it's hilarious how, man, we've seen so many things. We saw, man, not that God started a pandemic, no, but we saw actually, man, some things that were revealed. We might have idolized entertainment. We might have idolized sports. Shoot, we might have idolized church.
Yeah.
Like, he started, and then we start seeing, oh, snap, there's this racial tension in these wounds that we have. Man, it's time to actually, like, take heart and take notice. Wait a second. There's some deeper kingdom reality that we can tap into.
Amen. Wow.
To be the answer. So, anyways, I'm done.
Yeah, it goes back. Go ahead.
I wanted to say this because, yeah, I started to dream. I started to really dream when this stuff started, like really sitting on my heart. And so practical ways of like kingdom mindset. I started driving around impoverished areas of our city. And I started asking, I said, God, give me the dream of this area. God, give me your heart for this area. God, give me ideas for this area. Not just to get people saved, but to reveal kingdom value, kingdom culture, kingdom teaching. Because in reality, here's the thing. If you reveal, like, the kingdom, they'll come in.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it doesn't start with just a, hey, brother, have you received my Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? It might just be, hey, have you thought about this is actually how you do finances? Hey, you know, I'm going to help out your kids when it comes to education. It starts rethinking how we do society. The more we touch society, the more people can come into the kingdom.
That's right. So it has to be more than just how does it impact me in my individual relationship. That's where everything starts. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and that's why we teach the word and preach the word and do everything that we do, discipleship classes, youth ministry, all the things that we do is to deepen you in the word of God, to deepen your relationship with God. But it certainly can't end there.
Nope.
You weren't called just to be a disciple. You were called to make disciples and to say, where does the culture that I'm involved in the kingdom, where is it touching and impacting the culture of this earth?
Think,
where does yours, what, that to me, like through Pastor Sam, is like a challenge to everyone this morning.
Yes.
Amen? It's like a challenge. I remember the first time he was talking with me that I'm like, dude, I'm praying for you because he shared some things that he was believing for. I'm like, I can't do those things. The certain things that he was talking about, I can't do the same thing that he can do. Just like Pastor John was saying, we all have different personalities. We all have different circles of influence. We all have, well, maybe God will tell me to go do that. Maybe God will tell me to do it with you. I don't know. We'll see, right? But in my, you know, in my mindset is like, he's the one that can do that. But where is God challenging you in your culture where you're at, in your part of your influence in the earth? You have a way to touch and influence the kingdom of this world in a way that maybe nobody else does. And as you find that place, you will see change begin to happen. When he was talking about the revivals, just real quickly, some of these revivals that went on in history, man, they shut down the police stations.
Come on.
Because there was no crime. They shut down the bars because people gave up alcohol. The miners, in one country, the miners had trained their donkeys to only respond to curse words. and all of the miners got saved. And so they had to retrain the donkeys how to work in the mines because nobody was cussing anymore. And not just the drinking and cussing, you know, I'm not saying that's not the total social reform we're looking for, right? But it's just an example of how when Jesus wasn't joking around when he said, pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I know there's a certain branch of theology that looks at that as a kingdom off in the future, but the kingdom Jesus brought is here and now that he paid for it with his life. And there is an expectation if we look at the early disciples, we see the impact that they were making. Go ahead, Pastor Josh.
Yeah, so there's a really staggering statistic that I heard the other day that's just totally gut-wrenching. That messes with me, and I hope it really messes with you, and I hope it really messes with the way that you think that we should and the way that we are doing church. So Chris Valentin, who is a pastor out of Bethel in Redding, California, who has his own ministry, but he had his interns do a study and says, hey, like, let's see the effects that the church is having on society. And so they went and they said, hey, you know, obviously, like, man, like the bigger the church is, the more members are hearing the word, the more they're going out spreading the gospel. And so that city must be better. But they found out the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Is that the bigger the church was, the worse off the city was. The more, there was greater poverty there was greater crime there. Like, and you could just go down the list and list the things. But I'm saying that because we have the church, we as the church have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is that, listen, you should hear that, and that should mess with you.
Yeah.
You should hear that. That should bother you.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because, man, we have become so accustomed to keeping the gospel and the power of the gospel inside the four walls of the church.
Yeah.
You know, like, and we're good if we come to church and you lay hands on me and I fall out, or if I feel the goosebumps in worship, which is, all of that's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. But I think that there's a greater reality that Jesus is wanting us to grab a hold of and to walk into. You know, even when you look at Reformation, I believe we just came across something like 500 years of celebrating the Reformation of what happened in Geneva. And what's amazing, though, is that when you look at the revival that took place in Geneva, you don't read about any, like, these crazy miracles happening or, like, people falling out, or, which is, listen, I am 100% all for miracles, all for those things. But what you see, though, is amazing, is that you see a society completely being changed and shifted, is that this city went from being one of the worst places in Europe to now, even 500 years later, we're still reaping the benefits of reformation that's happening there. And so even in saying this, is that even like in every revival, I love what Bill Johnson says. He says in every revival, there are seeds of reformation, but we have to take those seeds and begin to plant them.
Right.
You know, I think even when you look at the Jesus movement, right? Like, you see thousands of people getting swept into the kingdom, you know, and like, and these guys are passionate, man. They're fiery. And this is like amazing seeing what God was doing. But what happened, though, which is like such a tragedy, is that these guys got so passionate about getting people saved, which is awesome. But they said, hey, listen, I'm not going to pursue the calling on my life. You know, like, maybe some are called to government. Maybe some are called here, man, to sit in places of influence and say, you know what, I'm like, forget that, man. I'm just going to go evangelize.
Yeah.
And what happened? Because they didn't pursue the giftings and they didn't pursue excellence on their giftings, is that now we have people in influence who are ungodly. Because God was trying to raise up a generation to take the mountains, man, to sit in the places of influence that have his character, that have his heart. You know, and so basically what I'm trying to say is that, man, the gospel, it has to go out of the four walls of the church. You know, is that we're called to invade. Listen, like, when you look at Geneva, it was this, is that men and women said, man, like, God has the answers. Is that, man, heaven has a way of doing banking. Man, heaven has a way of doing art. Man, heaven has a way of doing education.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe God is waiting, man, for a people to rise up and begin to say, man, heaven has a way, man, is that heaven has a solution to the problems in the earth right now.
Exactly.
It is not just about bunkering down and waiting until Jesus comes.
Exactly.
And, you know, and that whole... That's a demonic mindset, man.
And we can't, as you're saying, we kind of come back to the point. We can't go into the world and take the same words, the same strategies, the same things, and try to do it in the world's way. Okay, that's not what God is asking us to do. He's asking us to get his strategies. This was something in the prophetic ministry we were talking about. Even into last year, we were praying about God's, the difference between God's plans and purposes. We're always praying, God, we want your plans and your purposes to come into the earth. And then the words, then the Lord said the word to us, strategies. Pray for my strategies. There's a difference between what God's plans and his purposes are, but there's a big difference in then praying for his strategy and how to do that. And this is what we're talking about. We're not just coming into the kingdom of this earth, the culture of this earth, just saying back the same things that they're saying, using the same tactics, using the same things that they're doing. No, we're coming with kingdom strategy, with kingdom wisdom, with kingdom plans, and kingdom authority to walk into those places and do what Jesus has called us to do and see an impact in those areas. So, Pastor John, as we kind of like put all of this together, I want to talk about, just for a few minutes, I want to talk about the aspect of prayer in all of this. Because sometimes we think of prayer as, well, I'm just going to go to God and I'm going to give him my list, right? And I'm going to get in there, I'm going to give him my list, and I'm going to give him my pains and my sorrows and pray for these people. And I'm not trying to trivialize it. I'm just trying to say that many times our mindset is quick in, quick out, our list, instead of getting God's mind and God's perspective on things and how prayer can be transformative. Amen. In all of this.
Amen. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about this. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. If you look at the world system, there's three words that we can say as Christians. It's not about us. Mm-hmm. You see, the world system, they look at their own selves and they look at their own interests. But it's not, that's not who we are created to be. If we have the heart and the mind of Christ, then our heart and our desire is to see other people. We want to see them saved, healed, delivered, set free. Isn't that what we always say? Mm-hmm. And the strongest thing that we can do as Christians is to pray. Because that prayer sets God's hand in motion. That as we pray, our focus is not going to be so much on the people and their situation, but our focus and our fight is with the devil, where we have an opportunity to be able to rebuke those forces that are holding people in bondage in that. I know that when I was in a different denomination growing up, I went to church. It was about religion. And I got tired of being tired because there was no power, there was no connection. I knew that my life was on the wrong track. And a lot of times prayer, especially for an individual, I knew that God was in that room. And I was in my room, my college dorm room, and I knew that things happened. And I knew that my life wasn't on the right track. And I cried out to God. It was as simple as that. I said, God, help me. I need you to move in my life. And when I cried out to God, I still don't know how I did that. I used to have 5 jobs, man. And somehow I got from where I was to where my future was taking me to the airport and became an air traffic controller and so forth and so forth. You have to know that you're not by yourself, that there's going to be times that God is going to speak to you. And especially if you're just going through the motion, if everything is about you, if you know that, you know, my heart is not right, all you have to do is cry out. You know, when we cry out, that brings God into the situation. And I want to read this from Galatians 2 and 16. I'm reading out of the Passion. And it says, for we know full well that we don't receive God's perfect righteousness as a reward for keeping the law. In other words, just religion or going through the motions. But by faith of Jesus the Messiah, his faithfulness, not ours, has saved us, and we have received God's perfect righteousness. Now we know that God accepts no one by the keeping of religious laws. So it's not by outward appearance. As we begin to pray and as hearts are changed and transformed, that we become more like him, that we have his desires, that we want to see people saved, healed, delivered, and set free. And I want to read this here in verse 20. I'm going to be quick. My old identity has been crucified with the Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the anointed one lives his life through me. We live in union as one. That's how we can begin to affect a community. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. That is why I don't view God's grace as something minor or peripheral, for in keeping the law could release God's righteousness to us, the anointed one would have died for nothing. And so as we invite God into our heart, into our life, that he's able to change the destiny, I am quite certain that I was an alcoholic, and I probably would have been dead. I was very foul, and God totally changed my life. But our identity is not in this society, because this society is totally opposite of what God would have it. Our identity is in God. When you look at God, he has patterns, that he has things that he wants us to be. It's the society and ignorance or things that come against us that keep us from being all that we can be. In Jeremiah 29, God knows the plans for us, plans of good and not evil. Well, guess what? The enemy knows his plans for us.
Yeah.
And so we have to choose whose plan do we want to see fulfilled in there. A lot of times we talk about that sanctification or having a renewed mind. I want to make it very simple. Simply means to come into alignment with God in the way that we think, speak, our purposes, and actions. It means as we grow and walk through our lives, we're always in the process of becoming who God created us to be, to do the things that he wants us to do for him and for his people. It's not about religion. It's not about the way that we look. It's not about religionese, the way that we speak. It's about a heart transformation. Yep. And when you really understand it's not about you, you don't have to be in the forefront. All you have to do is just reflect God's glory, reflect Amen. His love.
Amen.
Reach out for others and love them the same way that Christ loved us.
Amen. So, Pastor Sam, I'm going to ask you that, you know, we were talking earlier, I said I felt like there's people that sometimes they weigh the balance, the difference between, well, if I'm in the kingdom of this world and the things that I have to give up to become a part of God's kingdom is just too much. You know, why should I give up these things in the kingdom of this world and be born again, be saved, and brought into your kingdom, the kingdom of God? And we were talking earlier about how I've heard people say that when they first heard the gospel, they're like, man, you're asking me to give up drinking and give up smoking and give up sex and give up all of these things for this. And that's because, as Pastor John was saying, all they were seeing was a religion. They were seeing, so I can go to church on Sunday? No, that's not what we're talking about at all. Yeah. We're talking about being born again, having the Spirit of God come on the inside of you and make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we're talking about a total radical change of life. And so sometimes I know people try to balance that out. Is that worth it? Or maybe you're in the place where, and I'd like you to address this with the people, maybe you're in this place where you realize, you know, I've been living in this kingdom of me. I'm Christian, but I've never really thought about how my life is impacting the culture around me. I hear everything that's going on, you know, in the media and all these things that are happening and what people are saying, but what am I doing? What am I doing about it? What am I praying? You know, how am I impacting my culture? What is one thing that I can pray about and get God's strategy for this week? If you just did one thing this week, by the end of the year, in the next year, that'd be 365 new things that you did for the kingdom of heaven. Not that you're supposed to be a doing that God is creating, but you're a being that God has created to be being about his business. Amen? So, what's your name, Pastor Sam? Lost my senior. No, I'm not going to even claim that.
How old are you now?
will you pray for people, and first of all, people who have never received Jesus as their Lord, first of all, to please understand that this kingdom of this world, everything is temporal, Everything is temporary. This is but a vapor. This lifetime is but a vapor. And the things that we're talking about this morning, the kingdom impact, this is eternal stuff that we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's heavy, it's spiritual, it's weighty, it's eternal. And if you've never made that decision, I'm going to let Pastor Sam pray for you. But also, I want you to pray for people specifically to get God's strategies.
Yeah.
Yeah. For their life and what God is specifically speaking to them today.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Man, if you don't know Jesus, he's so much better than what you think.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Like, this life is so not Sunday service church driven. This is a life driven moment to moment. You walk with him. He's so real. And if you have not received Jesus, I just want you to, where you are, if you just close your eyes.
And those online.
For those online.
Also.
And in the room. Just go ahead and close your eyes.
Jesus.
When Jesus met me in my room 10 years ago, it's bound to sexual addiction and everything else. And I said, God, if this is real, then I got to look like you. I had my Bible open for some reason. And I said, if this is real, then I got to look like you. And in that moment, something snapped in my heart. I felt my heart beat. And I heard his voice. And he said, Sam, that was easy. Receive him. If you're in this room and or in your homes, I just want you to just say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I'm tired of running.
Tired of running.
I'm tired of doing me.
Tired of doing me.
God, I need you.
God, I need you.
I'm tired of being apart.
Tired of being apart.
I want to know you.
I want to know you.
I believe you came.
I believe you.
You
came.
Lived, and you died, and you rose.
You rose.
Be my Lord.
My Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Be my everything.
Be my everything.
I receive you now.
I receive you now.
Thank you, God.
Jesus.
And now, if you've been kind of like in the kingdom of me, myself, and I, and you've kind of just had this individualistic relationship with God where you cared more about, you know, your own spiritual walk, your own spiritual life, the good for your family, that's good still. But you've only been considering yourself. I just want you to close your eyes. I just want you to lift your hands.
Jesus.
Open up your hands and say, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Uproot anything that I've believed, that I've built, that have been focused on me. I don't want to do this thing. I don't want to walk with you and not be effective in my society. Forgive me. I repent. You know, I was sitting here and I felt like the Lord wanted to do some things when it comes to people within education. I don't know if you're in this room or you could be in your home right now, but if you work, if you're a teacher, if you're a principal, if you're work in education, I just want you to, or even a student, I just want you to open up your hands.
Jesus, Jesus,
God, we need kingdom dreams for where we are.
Yes.
We need strategies, God, to shift, Lord, education.
Yes.
Specifically in North Carolina.
Jesus.
God, Jesus. Whether we're in elementary, middle school, junior high, preschool, teacher, principal, student, God, I pray right now, Lord, that you give us kingdom reality, kingdom dreams, yes. kingdom perspective.
Yes,
God,
on.
We need a strategy, yes. Lord, to shift, Lord, this yes. thing, Lord, in our education system.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, give us dreams, give us visions, yes. give us ideas.
Jesus.
If you're in business,
Jesus.
If you're in business, open up your
Jesus.
Hands.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
God, we need kingdom business Jesus. Strategies, ideas.
Yes, Jesus.
God, we don't want to obtain wealth just for us. God, we want a kingdom perspective of business, kingdom perspective of wealth. God, we ask that, Lord, that you would give us strategies,
yes.
not just to just be quote-unquote successful, Lord, as
Jesus.
The world would call successful in business, but that we'd be
Jesus.
Successful, Lord,
thank you, Jesus.
According to your ways of business.
Jesus.
God, give us strategies, give us ideas. Enlarge our hearts. Enlarge our hearts, God. God, and for whoever else is in this room, in whatever field, in whatever mountain, in whatever culture that we're in, whatever position that we're in, God, I pray, Lord, that you give us kingdom reality, kingdom perspective, kingdom value. God, we ask that, Lord, that we wouldn't just, Lord, think of what of things that we do in our own power, but God, that we'd be apostolic.
Yes.
That, God, that we would establish ecclesia, church, kingdom, God, in whatever area of our life, God, whether we're a hairdresser, whether we're a barber, whether we're in the military, whether whatever, God, position, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you send your church. God, here in this moment, God, we equip the body. We equip you to take ground.
Yes. Yes. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow, such a tremendous presence of the Spirit of God here right now. Lord, we just want to thank you. Just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to pray right now for anyone that needs healing. Isaiah 53 tells us that when Jesus died upon the cross, when he became that sacrifice for sin, it was not only for spiritual healing that you could be born again and brought back into relationship with God, as Pastor Sam was just praying, but it was for healing spirit, soul, and body. That he paid the price for your sicknesses and your diseases. And so I just speak to anyone in this congregation right now, anyone watching the church online with us right now, if there's sickness or disease in your body right now, we as the body of Christ, we gather together in prayer right now and we take authority over it in the name of Jesus. We are the body of Christ. He is the head and we are his body, and he has given us authority based on his word to appropriate the healing power of the cross and speak it into your body. And so we speak it into your body right now. We bind every sickness, every disease, every spirit of infirmity, every process that has begun in your body, every disease that has been named. We speak the name of Jesus over it, and we command it to stop right now in Jesus' name. We speak to cancer right now in the name of Jesus, and we command it to die in the name of Jesus. We speak right now corporately to every disease that is named, that is on this earth. You must submit yourself to the name of Jesus right now and be gone. Body, be healed in the name of Jesus. And we command you, body, to line yourself up to the word of God and be made whole, to stop exhibiting symptoms of sickness and illness and now show signs of healing, miraculous signs of healing taking place right now in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit of anxiety. We bind every spirit of fear. Right now, we bind the spirit of suicide right now in the name of Jesus. We break the power of it. You have no authority in Christ Jesus. You have no authority in those people right now. And we break your assignment. We cancel it in the name of Jesus. And we speak liberty. We speak the freedom of Christ Jesus. We speak the peace to your mind right now. The peace to your mind. The peace of God. It's not a passing peace that comes and goes, because he is the Prince of Peace. And he's now on the inside of you. And he's now healing you. And he's making you whole in the name of Jesus. And we declare it, total and complete healing from the top of your head to the soles of your feet in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees with it, stand up and say amen, amen, and amen, and give God some praise in the house this morning. Amen.